Today on Life Talk.
Jesus didn't care that he went to a mansion. He was happy to go to a small house, a regular house, a blue-collar fisherman's house. He wasn't too uppity to go into a lower-level home. And that's the way he is today. He loves us right where we are.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
The Bible is filled with miracles performed by Jesus. The Lord attributed some of those miracles to the faith of the person healed, and others he attributed to somebody else's faith on behalf of the person who was in need. And one of the most dramatic accounts is one of a paralyzed man who had four tremendous caring friends who decided they would literally carry him on a stretcher to a house where Jesus was teaching. And when they couldn't break through the dense crowd surrounding the house, they did something completely unorthodox. We're about to look at what they resorted to and how it paid off in a gigantic way. So let's go right to today's message entitled, Through the Roof.
Now, I want to talk to you about faith today, but I'm going to pull out of the Bible a story that's one of my favorites. I'm calling this today, Through the Roof. And I want to talk to you about through the roof faith. Through the roof faith. How many of you know that believers walk by faith and not by sight? Amen. And having begun in faith, we walk by faith and we end in faith. We want to be able to say with Paul, I have finished my course. Not almost finished, not kind of finished, but I fully finished my course, my assignment from God. Amen? And I kept the faith, and I fought a good fight. There's bad fights, there's good fights. The good fight is the fight of faith. Amen? So I want to talk to you about a story that is just very powerful, very poignant. It's full of pathos. It's full of just all the things that make for a great drama. Let me read to you the story out of the New King James Version. And I'm reading from Mark 2, the first 12 verses. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Boy, you want people to hear that Jesus is in the house. Amen? A lot of churches meet, Jesus ain't nowhere in that house. But sometimes, if Jesus is in the house, you had church. Amen? Now look what happened when he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together because he was in the house. So there was no longer room to receive them, not even about the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now when Jesus saw what? The hassle? When Jesus saw the intrusion, when Jesus saw the men, no. What did Jesus see? When Jesus saw their faith, it is impossible to please God without faith. When he saw the faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus, he knows what you're saying when he can't even hear you, right? Within themselves, he saw what they were reasoning within themselves. He knew their heart. He said to them, why do you reason about these things? Where are everybody in your hearts? So he knows our thoughts. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately, hear all the immediately's. Anytime you read the Gospel of Mark, it's filled with immediately's. It's called the Gospel of Immediate. Seriously. Immediately, he got up, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of everybody. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." How many of you would like people leaving church going, "I have never seen anything like that"? Amen? So that's what happens when Jesus is in the house. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your blessing today and pray that you will speak to us, minister to us, and guide us, Lord, in the way that we should go. We thank you, Lord, for increasing our faith today. Now, church, breathe a prayer with me and just say, "Lord, increase my faith in Jesus' mighty name." Amen. Now, this is a powerful story, and let me just kind of unpack it for us today and pull out some things that I think will bless you. They sure have blessed me. First of all, the Bible says that this miracle happened in a town called Capernaum. Now, we know that Jesus was born where? Oh, little town of? Right. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised where? In Nazareth. Got some Bible scholars here today. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth, but he made his ministry headquarters in Capernaum. We don't know why, he just did, because he wanted to, because he's God, so he can. But he made it in Capernaum. And if you read the accounts of Jesus' miracles in the New Testament, you find more of his miracles than not were performed in and around this little town of Capernaum. Now, this town of Capernaum was also the home of two sets of brothers, John and James, and Peter and Andrew. And it was also the home of Matthew, the tax collector. So Capernaum had quite a few Bible luminaries living in it. Now, Mark 1, if you drop back a chapter, reveals that Jesus had already been to this house that we just read about, that when he went in there, it filled up with people. He'd already been there once before because this house happened to be Peter's house. He was in Simon Peter's house. And Mark 1 tells us that when he visited for the first time, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and Jesus took her by the hand and healed her. And that's what happened the first time Jesus visited. Now he has gone out, and he has gone on a wide preaching tour where he has preached in many towns around the region, and now he's returning to Capernaum, and he goes into this house for a second time. Now, how many of you would love to have Jesus visit your house not once, but twice? Amen? How many of you would clean things up a little bit before he got there? Right? Amen. Take care of those Netflix, make sure everything's copacetic, right? But now, so he goes the second time. And that is where all this goes down that we just read about. He's there the second time. And the Bible says that no doubt this home was a little home. It was not large. It was typical of a fisherman in that day. Fishermen had homes like this all over that area. So it was a small space. Jesus didn't care that he went to a mansion. He was happy to go to a small house, a regular house, a blue-collar fisherman's house. He wasn't too uppity to go into a lower-level home. And that's the way he is today. He loves us right where we are. Matter of fact, he'd rather visit you in a small, humble home than go to some mansions that curse his name. Amen? Now, the Bible says it immediately filled up. It immediately packed out with people because word got out. Well, first time he was here, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. So no telling what's going to happen now if he performed no miracle. People love to hear him teach. And so here he is, he's teaching away, and the Bible says, while Jesus is teaching and all these people are glued to his every word, a very touching scene is happening outside the house on the fringe of the crowd as Jesus teaches. Four men are suddenly seen walking towards the house carrying a man in a stretcher. One man, each man has a corner of the stretcher, each of the four. And they're carrying a man who can't move. He's paralyzed. He's a paralytic. He can't move. He's gaunt looking. His eyes are filled with pain and a flicker of hope. Maybe, just maybe, something will happen if I can just get to Jesus. If I can just get to Jesus, who knows what will happen? I've heard about him. His friends heard about him. We don't know his name. We don't know his friends' names. We never do know. They are the nameless four, and he's the nameless paralytic. We don't know how far they've come, but we know that if you're carrying a full-grown man, let's say he weighs 180, 200 pounds, you're carrying a full-grown man, how many of you know even half a mile would be a long way? They're carrying this man in a stretcher, and their hearts are broken over his plight. Surely they're friends of his, because they've seen his pain, they've seen his situation. He can't move. He's unable to move. He can't walk, he can't function, he can't enjoy, have a normal life. His life has been ruined. We don't know if he's born this way or if an accident happened, probably an accident. Maybe his neck was broken, his back was broken. Something caused him to be a quadriplegic. He couldn't move anything. The word is paralytic, and it means totally paralyzed. So his life is over for all intents and purposes unless something happens here. If we can just get to Jesus, is the thoughts of these men. Somewhere along the way, they heard about Jesus. You know, sometimes all you got to do is hear about him. All you got to do is hear about him. Mighty things happen when you hear about him, when you just hear about Jesus. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd heard about him healing the sick, raising the dead, multiplying the fishes and the loaves, walking on water. They had heard that he was a miracle worker. And when they heard that he was a miracle worker, something in them clicked and faith rose up in their heart based on what they heard. That's why we got to tell people about Jesus, because when you tell people about Jesus, it ignites faith in their heart. You just got to tell people about Jesus. Just open up your mouth and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I'm not a theologian, but let me tell you what I know about Jesus. When I called out on Jesus, he changed my life. He filled my soul with hope and life. He raised me from the spiritual dead and gave me a whole new reason to go on. Let me tell you about Jesus.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website. lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So they're thinking this, maybe if we can just get our friend. Oh, it's a long shot. We're not sure. But if we can maybe just get our friend into the presence of this man we've heard about, Jesus of Nazareth, maybe something can happen. So they laid him in a stretcher. I don't know what his name was. Let's say Joe. Joe, we're going to carry you. We're going to take you where you can't go on your own. We're going to get you to the miracle worker. We're going to get you into his presence. Joe, just enjoy the ride. You can't do it, but we can get you there. You can't get yourself there, but we can carry you there. Joe, we love you. We care about you. And so we're going to carry you where you cannot go. We're going to get you to who you could never see on your own. But Joe, we're going to see if maybe a miracle can happen in your life, because we've heard this guy touches sick people and they're made whole. So Joe, let's give it a shot. Now, their journey has many lessons for us today. Let me just share some of the lessons, faith lessons, that we get out of this story. The first thing I see here that hits me right in the face when I read this story is the most effective faith is love-driven. The most effective faith is love-driven. Can we say that together? The most effective faith is love-driven. It's not mechanical. It's not unfeeling. As a matter of fact, love greases the skids of faith. These men had great faith. Oh, they had great faith. They're willing to put him on a stretcher and carry him. God only knows how far to get him to Jesus. So they had great faith, but their faith was love-driven. It was love-driven. They had great faith, but they had great love. They loved this paralyzed man enough to carry him all the way to Jesus. Listen to what the Bible teaches. Love is the channel faith flows through best. Let me say that again. Love is the channel faith flows through best. When you're moved by love, it ignites faith. Listen to what Paul wrote. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Galatians 5:6. Notice, faith working how? How does faith work? Through love. Now that word working is from a Greek word, energeo, and we get the word energy from it. And here's the idea. The idea is like electricity energizes a light bulb, making it shine. Faith is energized, lit up, maximized by love. Faith operates, functions, works by, shines best, is maximized by love. If I have not love, said Paul, I'm like a tinkling cymbal. It's like somebody just, the drummer on any Sunday, just hitting the cymbals and never hitting any of the drums. You go, what's up with that? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the full thing, the drums. But if he's just sitting there doing this, it's a brassy, tinny, shallow sound all by itself. The Bible says if we don't operate in love, we're not reflecting God. We're told about Jesus' ministry. This little phrase precedes many of his miracles. He was moved with compassion. It says Jesus was moved with compassion. We read that Jesus saw a widow walking in a funeral line. Her only son had died. And it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And he walked up to the casket and raised the boy from the dead and gave him back to his mother. It says Jesus looked out at the crowd following him. And it says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And that's when he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. The compassion preceded the miracle. The compassion worked with his faith. Folks, we are not to be just people of faith, but we're to be people of love and faith. Faith and love. Love and faith. I was at Walmart yesterday where all good things happen. I went in there to buy an electric cable. I was fixing something, and I was in line. And right in front of me, there were these two women. One of them might have been the mother, the other the daughter, but I noticed that she had a little thing of Depends diapers. That's it, Depends diapers on the shelf. And it's time for her to check out, and she's checking through, and she's counting ones. And it turned out she didn't have enough. She didn't have enough ones to get Depends diapers. And I'm watching this. She kind of held her head down. It was embarrassing. She knew I was behind her. And the mother figure said, well, we'll just have to get them another day. And all of a sudden, right then and there, my heart was moved with compassion. I wasn't looking down on her. I just felt touched by her plight. What's it like to be in Walmart and you don't have enough for Depends diapers? So before I even knew what I was saying, I said it. I'll get those. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. No, I want to do that. And the cashier rung him up. The woman said, what's your name? And now the daughter had already grabbed them, and buddy, she was headed out the door. I said, my name is Jeff. And I felt the love of Jesus. I did it in the name of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. It ignited something in me. See, God wants us to be people not just moved by knowing the right truth, not just moved by being saved and they're not. He never wants us to be condescending to people. We are to be like him. He condescended this way. He was condescending this way. He condescended to become one of us. And he walked among us and felt our pain and loved us. Let me tell you what changed me. What changed me was the love of God poured in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Theology didn't change me. Knowing the right thing didn't change me. The love of Jesus changed me. Amen? Come on, give the Lord praise. We're to be a people of love. So the faith of these four men was enlarged and maximized and energized by love for their friend. Now, the second thing I see in this story is their faith was unmoved by obstacles. Unmoved by obstacles. Mark records that as soon as they arrived at the house, now they come long enough, they're carrying a man all that way, dead weight. He can't move. He can't help them. They're carrying him the whole way. And they get there, and the first thing they see is a major obstacle. The Bible says they could not come near him because of the crowd. They couldn't get near him. Not only was the house packed, but all around the house, they were turning people away. This was a sold-out venue. Jesus was popular. The crowd way out in the yard and beyond, they couldn't begin to get near Jesus, so they ran into a major obstacle. This was a moment of testing. Let me tell you something. On the way to a miracle, your faith will always be tested. Can I say that again? On the way to a miracle, whatever the miracle might be, a financial miracle, a relational miracle, a deliverance miracle, a healing miracle, on your way to a miracle, your faith will always be tested. That's what gives you a testimony when your faith is tested. A testimony is you had a test with some moaning, and now you have a testimony. How many of you have a testimony today? Amen? How many of you are in the middle of a test and you're doing some moaning? Raise your hand. Come on. Well, let me tell you, on the other side of your moaning, you're going to have a testimony. The Bible says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Why? So that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, says Simon Peter. He says, if need be, you're right now going through a testing of your faith, and it's only going to last for a little while. Anytime there's a storm, you know this too shall pass. You know it's not going to stay. God's not going to let it stay because he's never going to drown the earth again in a flood. You know it's going to go away sooner or later. So you weather the storm. It's the same thing spiritually. Everything is bright and sunshiny, and all of a sudden there is a storm. The wind is howling. The waves are rolling. And you wonder, where in the world did this come from? Out of the blue, suddenly you're in a trial. Your faith is being tested. I guarantee you, you're going to come out on the other side. You're not going to build a house in the valley. You are going through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod of guidance and his staff of comfort guide me and lead me. I'm going to get to the other side. So all these four men could do is hold steady. You know, sometimes all that God asks you to do is stand your ground. Just stand your ground. Nothing fancy, just stand your ground. Don't retreat, just stand your ground. Don't give in, just stand your ground. Just stand there and say, I'm not moving. Even though I've come up against an obstacle, that's not the end of the story. Delay does not mean denial. I'm just going to hold steady. I'm going to hold strong. I have put on the armor of God, and I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to retreat. I'm just going to hold my ground. Nothing fancy. I may not look pretty doing it, but I'm just going to hold my ground. I'm just going to stand strong. Sometimes all that God asks of us is you know the truth, you know your Bible, you know your Savior, you know he's got everything under control, you know the devil is a dog on a leash, just stand strong.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111. 3111 or the website lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.